I looked to my left down the long, dark, gray tunnel and saw more people joining the mob that was screaming at us. I looked to my right and saw the same. Usually when this many people are pissed off at me, I have some clue what I've done. Unless there was some secret escape hatch in the middle of this long tunnel of offices, it seemed clear this situation was going to get a whole lot worse before it got better. The crowd was getting denser and angrier, and the air thicker thanks to the uncirculated 100-plus degree Nigerian heat and the confined space becoming crammed with bodies. "Why don't we just make a run for it?" I asked Jason. It seemed that there was still enough room for us to push our way out. For now. "Trust me, we are safer in here," Jason said. "Out there, anything can happen. Half the people in here are on our side." I'd only met Jason earlier that day, but I did trust him. I had little other choice. But it wasn't clear that anyone in this crowd was rooting for us to get out of here alive. Everyone's face was twisted in anger. They were screaming, but in the smooth, echoing walls of the tunnel, I couldn't make out anything they were actually saying. For all I knew, they could have been suggesting a lynching or wishing me Happy Friday in an overly intense way. It was one screaming din of vowels and consonants all hurtled directly at me and my husband. A 250-pound bald man was in my face, alternating between jabbing his finger at me and turning to thrust it into the air to whip up the crowd. His eyes were bulging. His veins were bulging. A white tank top stretched painfully across his muscles, bearing the inscrutable phrase, "Skull shit." I can't say I wasn't warned before heading to Nigeria. There were the usual overcautious State Department warnings that I typically ignored. There was every email I've ever received from a Nigerian prince. There was the dinner the night before I left with a Silicon Valley billionaire who grabbed my arm and said, "You cannot go to Nigeria like this. It's too dangerous." I don't tend to respond well when someone tells me I can't do something. This was 2011, and I'd spent the previous 2 years reporting in Africa, South America, Asia, and the Middle East for a book about the chaos and the opportunity found deep within the megacities, slums, and villages of the emerging world, going into places that most venture capitalists didn't care about or have the stomach for, was what I did. My photographer husband, Jeff, rationed his vacation time to come on adventures like this with me. I knew before asking that this was a trip he wasn't going to miss. He wanted to explore Nollywood, the gritty but lucrative Nigerian film industry. I wanted to meet scammers. This was going to be fun. Ironically, it was the reporting on Nollywood, not the scammers, that had put us in danger. The crowd was closing in on us. We'd tried locking ourselves in one of the offices of a Nollywood producer Jason was friends with. They looked more like jail cells. There was barely enough room for us to stand amid the piles of DVDs. But the crowd wouldn't disperse. Hiding and waiting them out wasn't going to work. We were trapped. They were pissed. They were out for blood, or money, or something. Hopefully money. Jeff looked into my eyes. I nodded with little more than my eyes. He ducked behind us in the prison cell cum office and slipped the memory card out of the expensive camera he'd stashed surreptitiously in Jason's backpack. He stuffed the card in his shoe. After more than a decade together, a husband and wife don't have to say things to each other like, "I'm going to be furious if we lose a finger and we lose the fucking pictures and video from today." You just know. That's when the vigilantes came for us. It's not every day you find yourself in a situation where the vigilantes are the safer choice. But Jason was essentially telling me that was the case. Jason was building a business putting Nollywood content online and was one of the only people paying producers to globally distribute their work. This was basically another day at the office for him. The vigilantes were also pissed at us for reasons we never got to the bottom of, but they were charged with keeping order. They were coming to escort us to our trial. Going along with them peacefully was our best bet to getting out of this long, windowless tunnel with all our fingers and toes intact. We were taken to see the judge, a man named Bones. We were marched back into the Nigerian heat of a Alaba market, the street hawkers still barking, haggling, and negotiating, the preachers still singing, banging on their electronic keyboards and trying to save everyone. Save in that God, eternal soul sense. Only a wad of cash was likely to save us from Skullshit and his crew.